If I ask the congregation to name the Ten Commandments, I have confidence that as a group, you would be able to name all ten. It might take some brain power, it might take some thought, but eventually you would get to all ten, which go, thou shalt not have any other gods, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, thou shalt sanctify the holy day or Sabbath, thou shalt honor thy father, thy mother, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, and the last one, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor maidservant, nor his cattle, nor anything that is his. You probably all remember learning this, right, as you were growing up. But if I asked you to name the fruits of the Spirit, do you think you could name them? Some of us, right? And in general, we tend to have less confidence in our congregations to name them, which are, just so we're all on the same page, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And our confidence to recall it is not so much a reflection on the people in the pews, but also a question about how the church teaches. In the church, we teach the children the Ten Commandments. We hang up posters all over the church declaring what the Ten Commandments are. When we baptize children, we ask the parents to make a promise that they are going to teach the Ten Commandments. When we get to confirmation, we usually go through Luther's explanation of the Ten Commandments, while we barely mention the fruits of the Spirit. And in a way, I think this often affects our perception of faith. If we look at only the Ten Commandments, we see a life of abstaining. Abstaining from the things that hurt our relationship with God and hurt our relationship with others. But that misses something, because the fruits of the Spirit are a call to change our life. They call us to strive, not just to not do things, but to strive to do something. Strive to love, to show kindness, to have joy, to share peace, to follow goodness, to be faithful, and have self-control. They call us to give. And the reality is, when we talk about our faith life, we need both. We need both the Ten Commandments and the fruits of the Spirit. Because one tells us about the things that are dangerous to us, while the other gives us something to aspire to. In our gospel story today, Jesus calls the people to repent. And when you first hear this reading, you probably get a sense that if you don't repent, you will perish. It comes off as a warning. But just to read this text as a warning would be dangerous, because repentance is not just about confession and forgiveness. Repentance is about changing our lives. It's about living a life with God in the future and living a life with God today. At the core of what Jesus is stressing is, do not wait to live with God. When we talk about our world, it's hard to ignore that we don't know how long we have to live. That life comes to an end in our world, the death, it very much exists. We've seen this over the past couple of weeks. We've seen it with a shooting in New Zealand. We've seen it with flooding in the Midwest. We've seen it with a cyclone in Africa, which I think last count I saw today was 300 are dead. A reminder that death can come in an instant. That some of us will have longer to live, while others will have a shorter life. and that the length of our lives is not determined by how righteous we are or unrighteous we are. But we do know that most of us will die, that we can never truly prepare for death. But we see in Christ a hope that we die, but then we'll come back to life. Yeah, it's scary stuff, right? She gets it, I guess. We look to Christ and we see a freedom from death. We have this hope that death is not the end. That Christ comes and dies for us so that we may be given life. And it becomes a question of us receiving this life, not because we are good people who don't sin, but rather because God in Christ is so good that he gives this gift freely. But to only see the gift of freedom that Christ gives us as a freedom from death would be understate what Christ gives us. Christ actually offers us something else as well. This past week, I was talking to another pastor, and we got into a discussion about heaven and hell, as pastors do sometimes. And in the midst of this conversation, my colleague mentioned that we often think of heaven and hell in the future. You think about, when people talk about it, they often talk about this image of either going to heaven or hell after death, right? He says, what that's a mistake about is this. Heaven and hell exist today on earth. We have the power to create heaven or hell on this earth for ourselves and for others. And what Christ is really calling us to do is to help make heaven on our earth. And we can do this in two ways. We do this by avoiding the things that destroy others, preventing our world from becoming hell. We do this by preventing things such as murder, stealing, coveting, blasphemy, and lying. But we also bring heaven in another way. We do it by bearing fruits of the Spirit. We become people who cultivate joy, love, kindness, peace, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Because in these gifts, we find sweetness. We find why it's called a fruit. Because when you bite into a piece of fruit, I'm a big fruit eater, so if you're not on the same boat, I understand it. There's this joy. You are tasting something that is very sweet. Something that is special. Something that is enjoyable. Something that is a gift. And in the same way, we are called to be trees that bear fruit, to be a blessing upon our earth, just as Christ is a blessing to us. Amen. Please join me in singing our gospel hymn.